toxic factions of the Drakari are the most sadistic, decadent, and vicious elements of a long-lost stellar empire. They occupy the splintered city realm of Kamarag within the twilight domain of the ancient Webway. From there, the Drakari raid and plunder the myriad races of the galaxy. The Drakari are experts in precise torture, sharp blades, cruel poisons, and eldritch abominations. Using the labyrinthine network of webway spars, they strike almost anywhere. Real space raiding parties often prey upon worlds across the galaxy, surging from hidden portals unknown to those they see merely as cattle or playthings. To those they leave alive to spread fear of their passing, these arrogant Xenos are evil incarnate. While the Drukhari's superior science has mastered a multitude of feats, it ultimately focuses on their victims' misery, how to create it, and how to prolong it. Striking where they please, not for any resources their victims value, they come to inflict suffering and anguish only ingenious Epicureans of torment could imagine. The agony of others fills an aching void within them, a cursed soul debt they must all pay. And pay they do with inordinate relish. Twilight Raiders. The Drakari exemplify every obsessive and wanton act of cruelty that all Eldari risk giving into. They are a selfish breed of Xenos raiders, seeking only their own twisted fulfillment at the expense of all others, even their own kind. In piratical forays of all sizes, the Drukhari prey upon the races of the fractured galaxy, reveling in the slaughter and fear they cause. From the depths of their subdimensional realm, the dark city of Kamarag, raiding parties of sadistic Drukhari gleefully strike out. They hunt for pleasure, and their pleasure is the pain and terror of the galaxy's races. For those unfortunates taken as captives, a drawn-out existence of agony and fear awaits, providing sport, amusement, and spiritual sustenance for their captors. Little pleases the Drakari more than the screams of their prey, the sight of horror in their victims' eyes, or the feel of flesh parting under their blades. Every nuance of misery that the refined senses of the Eldari can detect, the sight, sound, and taste of suffering, is a potent narcotic that Drakari raiders rapaciously consume. The Drakari are tall, slender, and graceful in form, with natural athleticism, lithe strength, and perceptive senses. Their long lives are artificially extended by gruesome means, enabling them to devote their piercing intellect across entire epochs to the mastering of singularly depraved obsessions. They are masters of many forms of close combat, with hooks, blades, and cruel lashes of countless types. In the deadly cut and thrust of acrobatic melee, their speed and dexterity make them lethal. Drakari's skill in close-quarter slaughter extends to each part of their body. Many of their varied castes of warriors wear a variety of close-fitting bodysuits or segmented armor, which afford incredible agility and often incorporate razor-sharp blades and barbs. Drukhari science produces abominable poisons and hemotoxins, or elixirs made from the rendered-down remains of their captives. In their eldritch forges are built superlative personal armaments, as well as lightning-fast strikecraft and anti-grav vehicles, which are fitted with monomolecular barbs and other weapons that inflict painful death in exotic ways. Raiding parties of Drakari, forged through fractious alliances in Komorok, attack planets, orbital habitats, fleets of ships, and any other target that offers bounties of sentient beings. In blade-proud transports, they often strike from above, appearing with no warning in order to stoke as much confusion and terror as possible. Drakari technology is so far advanced that it is often viewed as mystical or magical by the races they prey upon. Their splinter weapons fire shards of crystalline substances laced with engineered venom, while other armaments defy any notions of physical laws known to the Imperium. Baroque, trophy-hung barges descend on jets, unleashing beams of darkness, nightmarish energies, or psychoempathic terror fields. Surgically augmented mercenaries and pain adepts leap from their dark realm through shimmering portals, directly into the terrified presence of their prey, while ghastly horrors crawl from the shadows themselves. Drakari often attack as night falls, or their strange technology can even artificially generate such conditions, causing base fears to claw at their victims' minds. Most real space raids are convened to take captives, the raw fuel upon which Drakari society thrives. Once brought to Komorok, these unfortunates are hunted in vast arenas watched by thousands, experimented upon with vile surgeries and drugs, or used to fulfill any of the countless roles by which the Drakari can profit off their suffering. Even in raids with unusual and esoteric goals, such as the enacting of vengeance upon arrival, the execution of some murderous performance, or the theft of an advanced artifact from their kin, the Eldari of the craft worlds, participation by the cruel citizens of Komorok is highly sought. All Drakari desire to sate a gnawing need at their heart to inflict pain wherever possible. If not against the other races of the galaxy, then readily upon other Drakari within Komorok. Komorok is unlike any city of the Imperium. It is a twisted, fractured connection of subdimensions and satellite realms within the shifting webway of legend. Human captives brought into its environs cannot comprehend even the fraction they can see of the dark and shadowy landscape. A labyrinth of dark spires, crowded slums, starship docks, and vast arenas, threaded through with streams of screaming captives and snarling beasts, overlays layers of hidden dungeons, obelisks, and the secret abodes. The temporal and spatial irregularities within the webway have allowed Camarog to spread and branch like a tainted crystalline fungus that reflects the society within. Cunning and powerful factions vie for prominence in a realm where piracy, murder, scheming, and betrayal are facts of everyday life. Only the strong survive in Camarog, and the Chakari have had millennia to winnow out the weak. The genesis of evil. More than 10 millennia ago, the galaxy-spanning empire of the Eldari came to a cataclysmic end in the race's fall. Many of the splintered survivors of that apocalypse forged their own course of desperate existence from that time onwards. But the Chakari can be said to have trodden their dark path for far longer, turning an established decadence into their salvation. Any knowledge of Xenos is brutally suppressed within the Imperium. Thus, only a fraction of mankind's teeming trillions knows anything of the Eldari's supposed history. Of these, most are high-ranking agents within the shadowy Ordo Xenos of the Inquisition. Some within this group are entrusted by Eldari contacts with tales that claim to tell of the fall of their race. Yet the natural suspicion of Inquisitors leads them to view such data as disinformation, myth, or at best, apocalyptic metaphor. Nevertheless, they are tales that all Eldari learn and that different strands of their race treat variously as cautionary tales of hubris, stories of ultimate betrayal, and even accounts of the excision of weakness. The ancient Eldari Empire existed as the most advanced and dominant race in the galaxy many millions of years ago. Through their science, they created worlds and extinguished stars. While the unlimited potential of their psychic arts ensured that there was no force that could deny their authority, the technologies at their fingertips meant the Eldari could live a life of leisure, free from concepts of manual labor, able to pursue any diversions their powerful emotions and soaring intellect could conceive. Using the webway, they traveled between the stars of the galaxy in a heartbeat, delving into esoteric studies and unusual passions. The long lifespan of the Eldari led many to seek ever more extreme avenues of exploration as they tested the limits of their own psyches. The thoughts and emotions of their race and rise to heights of bliss, or plumb to dark nadirs of anguish that are unknown to mankind. These extremes were reached for by many of an arrogant race that increasingly saw itself as far beyond any boundaries of morality. On many Eldari worlds, cults of pleasure and pain, dabblers in extravagant technologies, and lodges that consorted with narcotics distilled from across their pan-galactic empire sprang up. The Eldari had spread from the worlds at the heart of their civilization to not only countless other planets throughout the galaxy, but also within the Webway itself. Nodal cities and mighty ports flourished within the interconnected network of misted passageways that led to Eldari colonies far and wide. Some of the pleasure cults, among whose devotees were great numbers of the aristocratic nobility of Eldari society, relocated into these Webway settlements as they came under pressure to curb their excess. Within these complex hubs, where shadowy trades in people and substances could be carried out secretly, many of them flourished. The greatest of the Webway's mighty port cities was a vast metropolis known as Kamarok. Its unrivaled connections to countless portals ensured its value and granted the city unprecedented autonomy to ensure that no one faction within the empire could deny its use to any other. Yet, with lax regulation, Kamarok grew ever larger and became a home for every illicit and reprehensible pastime within the empire. The dilantate lords and ladies who headed many of the pleasure cults grew more powerful, and with both their influence and Kamarok's fast flows of shipping and connections, countless shadowy creeds spread to world after world. The Eldari's psychic souls flare brightly in the mirror realm of the warp. Powerful emotions in that dimension can take form, and the soaring highs and crushing lows of the psychically sensitive Eldari began to coalesce. Quiescent ripples of agony and ecstasy echoed through time and space. The surging tides of the warp began to coil in a vortex around the constant stream of extreme sensation that flowed from the increasingly depraved society of the Eldari. Around their emotions accreted in a nascent entity of excess. Content at first to wait and grow, it fed on the torrent of intensity put forth by the Eldari, while its dreams, in turn, seeped back to them, driving their vile exuberance to greater depths. There were those in the Eldari Empire, among the spiraling insanities and obsessions pervading their people, who foresaw calamity. Some of the first to act were the Exodites, who left the decadent centers of civilization behind to begin again on wilderness worlds, far from the trappings of indulgence and excess. Much later, after incalculable efforts of psychic engineering, a movement of ascetic Puritans departed on delicate planet-sized ships, bearing huge colonies through the void and into the depths of empty space. These were the craft worlds, and among those who fled upon them there were many with the seer sight. They prophesied a terrifying and a tragic horror ahead that echoed through time. Their warnings were scoffed at or ignored, and some of their number fell foul of the influential pleasure cults before they had a chance to escape. Freed of the appalled and doubting elements that had barely kept it in check, Eldari society plunged deeper into the lascivious decay. Towards the end, the streets of their ancient cities ran with blood. Star-spanning orgies of pleasure and unbridled violence accompanied clashing rhythms, dazzling sights, and depraved crimes as the Eldari tore one another apart in heady displays of cruelty. In truth, their race's decline had taken many millennia to congeal into this grotesque abomination of reality. When the end came, it was in a single horrifying instant. The Chaos God Slaanesh, the Dark Prince of Excess, was birthed in the roiling warp with a reality-shattering metaphysical roar. Its exultant psychic screams ruptured the veil between the warp and real space. Hundreds of star systems at the heart of the Eldari Empire were rent apart, and countless more swallowed whole. The greatest warp storm the galaxy had ever seen erupted in their place. A yawning tempest of madness thousands of light years across. That which mankind would later call the Eye of Terror. In its first sucking intake of existence, Slaanesh drained the souls of almost the entire Eldari race, gorging on the pain of billions upon billions in a single gluttonous moment of excess. The resilient Eldari psychic essences, capable of experiencing extremes, suffered an infinity of agony. Very few Eldari escaped this fate. Some of the Exodites and those aboard craft worlds, the forebears of the Asur Njani, had managed to flee fast enough or far enough, but many of their number still perished. The Eldari maintained that during Slaanesh's birth, it even devoured most of their gods. As an empire, the Eldari had ceased to be. As a species, a desperate struggle for survival has dominated their lives ever since. The Webway Network, occupying its twilight site between the warp and real space, suffered terribly from Slaanesh's arrival. Vast tracts were crushed or fractured, allowing the essence of the warp to pour in at many places, with demons following greedily. Yet, many dimensions and spars within the webway survived, and Kamarag itself remained unbreached. Multiple layers of psycho-crystalline defenses sealed off tainted or damaged spars, while other sections mysteriously vanished, never to be seen again. Shielded by the ineffable nature of the webway, those within Kamarag survived Slaanesh's birth screams. In their supreme arrogance, they did not cease their quest for excess and selfish fulfillment, not even for a moment. repentance, atonement, or shame for what they surely must have understood could be traced, in part, to their own actions, were unknown concepts to a people who acknowledged no limits on their ambition or power. If the inhabitants of the Webway port city believed they had escaped without consequence, that they had evaded the Chaos God's immortal hunger, they were deluded. The echoes of Slaanesh's gluttony rippled throughout existence and wrought insidious changes within the remaining Eldari on Kamarok. They had not escaped the fall of their race, though it was a long time before they realized it. Rather than having their sentient essence consumed by the Chaos God in one great drought, their souls were slowly draining away, drip by drip, into the warp. There, they were swallowed by Slaanesh, the abhorrent warp entity that haunts every Eldari, that they all know as She Who Thirsts. The remnants of their race fear Slaanesh, for the God of Desire was born of their own dark obsessions, and hungrily waits beyond the veil for them. They have a terror of dying that runs far deeper than the mere regret of life's ending. The Eldari's strong psychic self can survive death, and while once their souls passed, they believe, into the realm of their own gods, now all that waits to feast upon them is Slaanesh. Different surviving strands of the Eldari race discovered their own ways of avoiding this horror. The Eldari of Kamarok, those who became the Drakari and endured the aching seepage of their souls, found that others could suffer in their stead. Those who became the Drakari had long preyed upon others, whether Eldari or further sentient species. Now, they saw that stringing the moments of pain and terror out as agonizingly as possible replenished their waning souls. Thus were born the Drakari, as a new era of feverish torment and captive acquisition spread throughout Kamarok. They became a race of sadistic parasites, feeding the yawning void within themselves by committing the most unspeakable acts of excruciation. Through their advanced technology, they devised ever more macabre ways of extracting suffering, with which they paid the sole debt they would forever owe to She Who Thirsts. In their selfish and indulgent narcissism, they viewed other races, even other Eldari, as weak beings deserving of contempt, and as chattel whom individual Drakari had the right to abuse and discard for their own dark ends. The agony of others, savored by the Drakari's refined senses, nourished their withering souls. But while the curse could be abated, it could never be denied. The gnawing of Slaanesh's hunger clawed at the soul of every Drakari, winnowing their spirit and vigor constantly. Every delicious nuance of terror, every sublime nerve-shredding ounce of pain that they drank in from their victims, could only provide temporary succor from the unstoppable soul sickness. Thus, the Drakari sank into a spiraling mire of damnation and depravity. Those who could not sate their need for anguish suffered a horrific withering of spirit. They became shadows of their former grandeur, desperately seeking any morbid sustenance. Fading to husks, these unfortunates weakened until they were prey for the other pain-hungry Drakari. Meanwhile, those who had recently fed on the most subtle and rare of agonies shone with a cold aura of vigor. Dull eyes regained their malicious gleam, and a supernatural potency invigorated their souls. Raids into real space multiplied as never before, seeking captives to satiate the Dark City's people. The countless pleasure cults, guilds, lodges, and syndicates vied for power and patronage. Piratical fleets of ships spread out through the galaxy, herding millions of captives into the depths of Kamarag every day. The trade of prisoners and of expertise in misery and degradation blossomed like a dark flower. To this day, Kamarag remains a canker of evil. The Drakari raid from its dark portals to claim captives for gruesome ends. In many cultures, countless myths and dark fables warn of lean hunters with grasping hooks and hungry grins, who kill the fortunate with each caress and take away those who are not. The rise to power. The depraved aristocracy of Kamarag, whose noble houses had risen to power through the various pleasure cults, are not the sole lords of the Dark City. Their complex web of intrigue, assassinations, gruesome commerce, and debauched entertainments is held together by the supreme will of the living muse, as Drubael Vect. The most powerful individual in all of Drakari society has countless epithets: the Lord of Darkness, Supreme Overlord of Kamarag, the Living Muse, the Upstart Filthling. Azdrubael Vect is the hand that moves the pieces in the insane geometries of conspiracies, favors, and contracts that dominate Kamarag. He is feared, despised, fawned on, and perhaps even revered by the shifting forces that control the City of Horrors as he sits at the peak of this hierarchy. Vect soared to power over his fractious people several millennia after the fall. It is said he was merely a warrior slave when Slaanesh tore its way into being. Once a lowborn, nothing sold to the pleasure cults for some abominable degradation. Now, he rules with both an iron fist and a hidden blade, one his detractors only realize is at their throats too late. Despite Vect's self-asserted position of absolute power, Kamarite society is far from centralized. The Supreme Overlord reigns over a splintered civilization of self-serving interests. These range from coordinated organizations to warring gangs that roam the fringes of society, and derelicts seeking survival at the dark city's desolate outskirts. Kamarag remains an incomprehensibly vast webway hub, and within its environs are renegades, criminals, and mercenaries from many cultures, not to mention the masses of captives from every corner of the galaxy. All of this writhes under the boot of Vect. The Lord of Darkness marshals the schemes of those below him like the composer of a great work, upholding the autonomy of the city's entities while keeping them at each other's throats. Vect ensures that there are no threats to his power, and that the ruthless meritocracy of Kamarag strengthens those within it. Whatever one station in the Dark City is, there is always a blade waiting in the dark, or a sheen of poison on the lips of a lover. Amongst the most powerful institutions of Kamarag are the Cabals, each a kind of militaristic cartel or private army, such as Vect's own Cabal of the Black Heart. These gang-like societies maintain their power via the real space raids their ruling archons launch. The witch cults, meanwhile, stage incredible displays of gladiatorial debaucheries within immense arenas, feeding Kamarite society with gory spectacles. In the bowels of the Dark City's pitch-black underworld, the homunculi covens practice their arts of flesh sculpting, soul siphoning, and vile regeneration, their costly services always in high demand. Surrounding these three pillars of Kamarag are mercenaries fulfilling subtler requirements. Through the striking of contracts between these factions, real space raids often contain uneasy allies, such pacts evaporating once the spoils are divided. Fealty's price. Where loyalty exists in Drakari society, it is a fluid and malleable commodity. The acquisition of personal power, the need to dominate lesser individuals, and the desire to fulfill every decadent whim mean there is no shortage of those willing to sell their blades for a price. Kamarag plays host to many of the galaxy's most villainous individuals, including alien mercenaries, bounty hunters, corsairs, and renegades, all risking their souls in the hopes of claiming the riches of the Dark City. Yet, for each band of Xenos scum that conglomerates in Kamarag, are countless more self-serving Drakari aiming to secure their own foothold and prosper under the dark shadow of Vect's dominion. Some are highly organized commercial and military enterprises, such as cabals without territory who have survived their peers and now profit from their expertise by hiring their assets out to rival cliques. Others may be loose bands of individuals drawn together by aligned passions or patrons. A number of these offer specialized battlefield skills, as well as a deniable detachment for canny archons seeking anonymous assassinations. Some also form an interstitial layer within the fractal social complexity of the Dark City's interconnected realms. Among the twisted prongs of Camarag's spires and jutting spurs, dark shapes can sometimes be seen flitting to and fro. These are the Scourges, soaring and hedonistic warriors, whose flesh and bones are remolded with wings grafted onto their anatomy. Such Drakari have surrendered themselves to the foul surgeries and agonies of the homunculi, and emerged from their laboratories as avian hunters, masters of the Dark City's upper reaches. Scourges fulfill a vital role in Camarag's endless politicking, intrigue, and murderous bargaining. Despite their incredibly advanced technology, no Archon can be certain that messages will not be intercepted or subtly altered, and psychic communication is utterly forbidden. Instead, the powerful of the Dark City pay handsomely for Scourges to take their missives by hand. Each Kamanique is sealed with tailor-made poisons, for which the antidote, in theory, is held by the intended recipient. To ensure the Scourges are not tempted by a rival to delay or divert the message. So important are Scourges to the network of communication that to kill one invites the wrath of Camarag's powerful lords down upon the perpetrator with unbridled excess. With bones drilled hollow, bands of new muscle blended with their own, and adrenaline dispensers, among many other esoteric additions, Scourges have become far removed from other Drakari. Some seek ever more bizarre bio-enhancements, especially the veterans known as Solarites. Many grow needle-fine quills from their scalp, have their skulls elongated, or their eyesight sharpened to pinpoint the merest movement of prey at great distances. With the wealth that a skilled Scourge can obtain from the paranoid elite of Camarag, they equipped themselves with expensive and exquisite war gear. Their ghost-plate armor is supple and porous, shot through with pockets of lighter-than-air gas that accentuate their natural grace. This armor also projects a personal force field, capable of scattering even withering hails of fire on those occasions their prey can land a shot. Protective of their expensively altered bodies, Scourges prefer to engage their foe at range, and their keen eyesight allows them to savor the injuries they inflict in exquisite detail. Their weapons are designed to be fired on the wing, allowing Scourges to unleash punishing barrages before swiftly redeploying. Many carry shard carbines, an advanced development of the splinter weapons favored by the Cabals. Aided by finely calibrated suspensors, Scourges also wield a variety of other armaments tailored to their victims. Heat lances spear through the mechanical contrivances of weaker races with beams of blistering energy, while shredders entangle masses of screaming soldiers in clouds of razor-sharp monofilament wire. Scourges are highly sought after on real space raids by those who can afford their price, though there are many others vying for a raid orchestrator's attention. The Courts of Archons. Archons surround themselves with a coterie of favored retainers, emulating, consciously or not, the depraved nobility that once ruled the Dark City before the rise of Vect. These courts of mercenaries, bodyguards, and status symbols can vary wildly, depending on the fleeting needs and shifting personalities of the Kabbalite lord or lady on whom they attend. The Lamians are members of the mysterious Sisterhood of Lilitu, and they are masters in the skill of crafting and administering poisons. They concoct some of the most potent toxins in use throughout Kamarok. A mere scratch from a Lamanian's Shimaneshi blade can cause a victim's flesh to begin eating itself. Different distillations can cause the brain to swell and crack the skull, blood to acidify, or organs to rupture. When an Archon conducts a real space raid, they may also be accompanied by a chained slave being that is host to a strange creature of the webway, a Medusa. These highly empathic parasites feed on dreams and nightmares, and resemble a collection of tendrilled brains clamped upon their host. Meeting the gaze of a Medusa can cause instant emotional hemorrhaging, and Archons employ these hybrid creatures for their ability to absorb the roiling sensations of the battlefield. When consumed, the bulbous brain fruit they grow can bring back all the vivid emotions of a raid. It is not only Drakari that the Archons employ. In the depths of Kamarok lies the district of Sek Megra. Alien mercenaries are found here in profusion, competing fiercely for lucrative murder contracts. Among them are the Slith, serpentine bodyguards more reliable than many treacherous Drakari. This multi-armed race fell to the temptations of excess millennia ago, and many now ply their trade in the Dark City. Their swift reflexes, arsenal of weapons, and insensibility to high levels of pain make them ideal interceptors of enemies, both on the battlefield and within the Archon's own domain. Urghuls, meanwhile, are hideous, sightless aliens that haunted the ziggurats of Shaddam before that subrealm's destruction. Still found in dark corners across the galaxy, each Urghul is an agile predator that hunts using the rows of quivering scent pits banding its face. Above maws of needle-like teeth, They are highly prized as entertainments, being fed choice slaves before select audiences, but are also used as advanced detectors of approaching assassins. All manner of nightmarish creatures prowl through Komarog's twisted realms. A great many tracts of the city are avoided, feared by Drakari for the predatory horrors that dwell within. Yet, nowhere is more shrouded with dread than Aelendrak, for here darkness itself seems to have gained a sort of sentience. Aelendrak is the home realm of the Mandrakes, sinister Drukhari who can pull themselves into reality through another being's shadow. The Mandrake's skin writhes with sickly, illuminated runes, and they clothe themselves in the leathery flesh of their victims. Their disturbing faces shift and flow, featureless one moment, and split by a fang-filled maw the next. Mandrakes exist simultaneously in reality and a cursed other world. They are not entirely corporeal. Shots and blows sometimes pass through their body as if it were smoke. They are able to manifest anywhere that shadows pool, dragging themselves up with sinewy strength and reaching for luckless victims with filth-encrusted claws. Though some Komarites claim the Mandrakes descend from a baleful union between ancient Eldari and unholy entities, others maintain they are remnants of a forbidden cult that found its own way to survive the fall. Some have even whispered they are one's own reflections, crawling from mere dimension to consume their creators. All such tales reflect the Mandrake's disturbing reality. Their dark skin seems to absorb light rather than reflect it. They are surrounded by a chill aura of shadow that saps the warmth from the air, and their ice-cold grip freezes their skin. The sigils of destruction carved into their flesh pulse when the Mandrakes feed upon the pain and terror of their prey, and the creature can channel this freezing energy into a blast of cold fire. Their ability as consummate shock troops, merging behind enemy lines, inside starships, or even locked rooms, make them highly valued by the cruel masters of the Dark City. Yet many fear to seek them out, for their esoteric price cannot be evaded. Usually, Mandrakes demand slaves that they take away to an unknown fate in Aelendrak. Sometimes, they will ask for something more exotic, such as a heartbeat, a true name, or final breath. Arrogant lords who renege on such bargains do not last long, for Mandrakes are notorious for their ability to track down any quarry. Sealed in an impenetrable fastness, surrounded by the most expensive bodyguards, or hidden behind subdimensional barriers, nowhere is safe. Sooner or later, a cold claw will reach from the darkness and the icy bite of the mandrake is never far behind.